50% view him unfavorably. It matches his all-time low from February of this year.
You know, we have continued discussions at the highest level in our respective offices.
She really did some impressive programming to get that authentic black voice to this city and to this campus.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, a new poll shows New Yorkers like the job Governor Andrew Cuomo is doing, but still give him low favorability marks. We speak with the New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli and look back on the late novelist Toni Morrison's years in Albany. A new poll shows that although his favorability and job performance ratings have sunk to record lows, a majority of New Yorkers believe Governor Cuomo has made New York a better place. WAMC's Capital Region Bureau Chief Dave Lucas reports.
Has third-term Democrat Andrew Cuomo made New York a better or worse place to live in the 9 years he's governed New York? Voters surveyed by the Siena College Research Institute say yes.
Well, a majority, 51%, say Cuomo has made New York a better place to live, compared to 39% who say he's made it a worse place to live. Not surprisingly, huge partisan gap. More than two-thirds of Democrats say he's made the state a better place to live. Nearly three-quarters of Republicans say he's made the state a worse place to live. Independents more closely divided, although a plurality of them say he's made the state a worse place to live.
Siena's Steve Greenberg says when it comes to his favorability rating, the Democrat is at a nadir.
43% of voters view Andrew Cuomo favorably. 50% view him unfavorably. It matches his all-time low from February of this year. Similarly, his job performance rating is at the lowest point it has been. 34% say he's doing an excellent or good job as governor. 64% say he's doing only a fair or poor job as governor. And nearly a third, 32%, say he's doing a poor job. That's one-third of New Yorkers think he's doing a poor job as governor, and that's the highest number it's been since he's been governor.
When it comes to recently passed laws, Greenberg says voters give the governor high marks.
By an 84 to 14% margin, voters support the new law that requires parents to have their children vaccinated regardless of the parents' religious beliefs. And of course, when you have a number like 84% support, it's across the board. 88% of Democrats, 80% of Republicans, 86% of independents. Similarly high, the new Farm Worker Bill of Rights. 78% of voters support that new law, only 15% oppose it. The law requiring that single-use plastic bags be banned has overwhelming support, 65 to 31%. Democrats, independents strongly support that new ban on plastic bags. Republicans, evenly divided. Voters also support the new banning of using the gay or trans panic defense. 58% of New Yorkers support that new law, 33% oppose.
There is one exception, the new green light law allowing undocumented immigrants to get a New York driver's license. Only 43% of New Yorkers support it, 53% oppose it. The poll also delves into public perception of two other high-ranking New Yorkers. President Donald Trump's favorability rating is up slightly, 35% favorable, 62% unfavorable. Trump's job performance rating is up to 34%. Greenberg says perhaps the president can find a little solace.
As bad as his favorability rating is, the mayor of New York City, a presidential contender, Bill de Blasio, has an even worse favorability rating. Right now in New York, 26% of voters view de Blasio favorably, 57 view him unfavorably. So Trump underwater by 27 points, de Blasio underwater by 31 points. And it gets worse for the New York City mayor. Among only Democrats in New York, de Blasio's favorability rating, 38 favorable, 49 unfavorable.
The poll of 810 state residents was conducted from July 28th through August 1st and has a margin of error of plus or minus 4.1%. There's more at WAMC.org. Dave Lucas, WAMC News.
Well, a handshake deal between Governor Cuomo and New York State's comptroller to reinstate the comptroller's authority to pre-audit state contracts in the wake of corruption scandals has stalled. Cuomo told WAMC this week he didn't know why the comptroller has not regained oversight of state economic development projects. Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, a fellow Democrat, spoke with WAMC's Alan Shartok on this week's Capital Connection.
Our office was set up. The purpose is to be an independent voice, to provide a level of scrutiny, transparency, accountability. Anything that's done to take that away is a loss for the people of the state, for the taxpayers of the state.
He says the reason that he did it was because you were too slow. You were holding things up.
Yeah. Well, that's not right. I mean, we turn around contracts on average less than 2 weeks. Are there some limited instances where there may be a very complex contract where it takes longer? Absolutely. But especially if it's a priority item and that's conveyed to us, we are very efficient and very effective in turning around contracts.
So is he a liar? In other words, when I say, is he a liar, he said, he assured all of us that he had given you back this authority. Now it appears he didn't. And when I asked him, he said, well, I don't know anything about that.
Well,
and I went after him on that.
No, he's certainly not a liar. Look, we had a verbal agreement. And as is often the case, you know, you leave it to the folks who do the day-to-day work to then implement that. And I think that's where there's been a challenge. The best outcome would be by statute to restore that authority, because it was taken away through budget language, which changed the statute. We did have our proposal, goes back a few years. The Senate and the Assembly had language that was part of the budget negotiation. Unfortunately, there was a lot going on with this year's budget, you know, very much kicked off by the terrible shortfall we had at the beginning of the year. I think it's fair to say that, unfortunately, this issue fell off the table in terms of resolution. I was hopeful that before session ended, there'd be an agreement. Because, look, the verbal agreement is wonderful, and even if you have an administrative implementation, that's great. But, you know, this authority was taken away by statute. It should be restored by statute as well. We were hopeful that would be dealt with before the legislature recessed. That didn't happen. So, you know, now we're kind of still, you know, left with we have a verbal agreement, and I appreciated the governor's reaching out to me and you know, the spirit that he said we need to fix this, but it hasn't happened yet. So, you know, suffice it to say, and I will say, Alan, you're raising it is helpful. We have continued discussions at the highest level in our respective offices, and I hope by the time I come on the show the next time, we could say that it's been either implemented administratively or we have agreement on statutory language that will be dealt with when the legislature's back in session.
That was WAMC's Alan Shartok speaking with New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli on the Capital Connection. Nobel Prize-winning novelist, essayist, and social critic Toni Morrison has died, and she's being remembered warmly in Albany. Toni Morrison's publisher says the 88-year-old died in New York City Monday night after a brief illness. She gained worldwide fame for novels like Beloved, Song of Solomon, and Sula. The first Black woman to win the Nobel Prize, Morrison's writing about America and race won her fans like Oprah Winfrey and Barack Obama. She's the subject of the recent documentary Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am. After news of her death, many people on social media reposted her 1993 Nobel lecture.
We die. That may be the meaning of life. But we do language. That may be the measure of our lives.
Morrison went from Lorain, Ohio to Howard University. Later, she worked as an editor for many years before publishing her first novel, The Bluest Eye. Her association with the university at Albany began in the mid-80s, when she came on as professor and Schweitzer chair in the humanities.
She really did some impressive programming to get that authentic Black voice to this city and to this campus, and that was really important at the time.
Paul Grondahl is now director of the New York State Writers Institute. He interviewed Morrison for the Times Union in 1987. He says Morrison spent several days a week on campus and had a big presence, working with William Kennedy and Suzanne Lance of the Writers Institute.
There was a secretary in that office. Her name was Ronnie Saunders. and she retyped the manuscript for Beloved in the office, in the Writers Institute English Department office here on campus. And then many months later, or, you know, a year later or so, Suzanne gets a call at the office from a reporter, might have been from the New York Times, saying, could Toni Morrison comment? She just won the Pulitzer Prize for Beloved.
Grondahl recalls Morrison bringing black arts luminaries like Spike Lee, Ruby Dee and Ossie Davis, and Ralph Ellison to campus, while also working on a new play about lynching victim Emmett Till and mentoring students.
She was really part of our, you know, Writers Institute early history. She actually was the second guest that we had in our 36-year history at the Writers Institute. The first was Saul Bellow, which was a huge event. We followed up with Toni Morrison, who packed our Campus Center ballroom. Over 800 people came to hear her in 1985.
With her inventive prose style and storytelling, Morrison attained both critical and popular acclaim, plus attention from academia.
The work of Toni Morrison has done one thing, which is allowed those who were not recipients of that ugliness and violence over the centuries to understand it and see how people have maintained their humanity and their beauty and their culture and dealt with their scars throughout their time here in the U.S.
Lisa Thompson is associate professor in the African and African Diaspora Studies Department at the University of Texas, Austin. Before that, she taught at UAlbany, including a semester-long Morrison survey that she still teaches. Full disclosure, I took that course. Thompson says it was an honor to walk in Morrison's footsteps.
There is a great responsibility to take the mantle that she has, you know, passed on, and to do, you know, continue the amazing legacy that she has created in terms of showing the breadth and the complexity and the beauty of African-American life.
Thompson says while Morrison's death is a sad day,
it's wonderful to be able to have all this whole bookshelf of her work and to be able to share my students with her again and again and again.
There's more, including extended interviews with Grondahl and Thompson at WAMC.org. Well, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.